Okay, I'm Paul Funk. I'm with the USDA Agriculture Research Service, Mesilla Park, New Mexico. Thanks for coming. I'm presenting on behalf of my co-authors. We've got Derek Whitelock here, John Wandura. Kathleen Yater is our area statistician. Kathleen Yater, she's our area statistician. And Carrie El Said, mechanical engineering professor at the Dutch-speaking university in Belgium, also working at Helwan University in Egypt. He does the modeling of cyclones. I'm going to focus on the particular emissions abatement device that is favored by the cotton ginning industry. This is the 1D, 3D cyclone with the full enhancement or modification somewhere in a typical installation. The main reason for doing this work is because we want to look at the best way to reduce energy consumption in cotton gins. Cost of operating a cyclone is a function of pressure drop. How can we reduce that pressure drop so we can reduce electrical energy consumption? Electrical energy is a function of inlet velocity, and so balancing the reduction in emissions at the gin, because we started this research thinking that, you know, if you decrease inlet velocity, you're going to increase emissions. But we might be able to do that a little bit because the power plant emissions go up when you buy more electricity. So we're trying to find what was the break-even point on that. That was where we started. Okay. There's a broad consensus, though the numbers don't agree. There is a broad consensus that energy consumption increases with inlet velocity, and it's not linear. It's a second-order function. So a small reduction in inlet velocity would be a larger reduction in energy consumption. The consensus ends at this point. All the slides in this presentation are going to start at 1,500 feet per minute and go to 3,700 feet per minute, so you have the same frame of reference. That's why some of the graphs aren't centered. This is a algebraic or numerical model of the 1D, 3D cyclone and the modified or fully enhanced 1D, 3D cyclone, and you can see this model, like so many models, predicts that as you increase inlet velocity, your collection efficiency is going to increase. Here we have the actual collection efficiency as measured using real gin trash. This is total, or TSP, and you see that it doesn't quite agree with the model. Why is it that particulate emissions are so hard to predict? Well, I'm really sorry the thing blanked out, because that's my best slide right there. There you go.
Give it a second. It'll be back.
50 years of empirical research with cotton gin or related materials. Faulkner and Shaw were using aluminum cornstarch. But 50 years of research show not very much correlation between the collection efficiency and the inlet velocity. And we're going, like I said, from 1,500 to 3,700, from about half to about a little bit more than full design velocity for the 1D, 3D. We started our laboratory research with a response surface trial. We varied inlet concentration from 3 to 75 grams per cubic meter, inlet velocities from about 1,600 to about 3,600. The results surprised us, so we said, hey, it's a response surface trial. That's just supposed to give you a general idea of the trends. Let's go to confirming trial. The confirming trial, we only used one inlet concentration. We replicated each of five speeds 17 times using two different cyclones. The initial response surface trial used a push-pull system. The confirmation trial, pull fans only. One advantage of switching was that the pull fan system, we had less particulate loss potential, and we also didn't have to worry with the new system that the push fan blades were altering the characteristics of the gin trash as it went in. In both experiments, 100% of the material goes out of the cyclone and through a filter. We minimized the distance that the dust had to travel to minimize the surface area where it might accumulate. Another concern when you're doing these tests is that particulate from one run will accumulate on the ductwork and transfer to the filter of the subsequent runs. So we tried to minimize that opportunity. We also graded our instrumentation every time we did a run, the instrumentation was confirmed with a primary instrument during the test to make sure our data loggers were recording accurate information. We used exactly the same amount of test material in every run, weighing it out, 8 samples of 100 grams each of the particulate that came out of our Gin Lab's first cylinder cleaner. We equilibrated the filters in an environmental chamber, 35% relative humidity, 70 degrees Fahrenheit. I did that for 72 hours minimum. It usually worked out to be a couple weeks. Same thing was done at the air quality laboratory in Lubbock. They then, after weighing the filters, would cut cores, put them in an ultrasonic bath, separate the particulate into an electrolyte, run that electrolyte then through the LS-230 laser diffraction to estimate particle size distribution. These procedures are identical to the ones that Mike Buser described because it's the same labs and people, and we just used the setup he'd already put together. Even before we began the analysis, we began to see differences. Now remember, we're running all the cyclones, same amount of trash. When the inlet velocity was lower, we fed it more slowly and just ran it for a longer period of time. There's a substantial difference. The filter on the left is at the low velocity, and the filter at the right is at the high velocity. And this was counterintuitive. But that's research. Sometimes things don't come out the way you expect. Now, all these plots, again, the same scale from 1,500 to 3,700 feet per minute, but these plots are all emissions. I used a Leithan-Licht model to predict emissions for a 1D, 3D cyclone. I get something that looks like this, predicting that you'll have lower emissions at higher inlet velocity. These are the results of our experiment. This is the TSP, total suspended particulate, increased with inlet velocity, and increased by a factor of about 3. Looking at the particle size distribution, PM10, we found PM10 increasing with inlet velocity by a factor of about 4. Roughly the same shape and the same separation between cyclone A and cyclone B. For the fine particulate, PM2.5, we see the emissions increasing by a factor of about 5. Quite surprising. We had two cyclones that were built to the same blueprint. Unfortunately, they differed in their performance. Carefully examining the cyclones, I saw small differences. I am personally not satisfied with my explanation, but I'll give to you my observation. There were some differences in the internal roughness or ripples or whatever. There was also a difference in where the seam was located. Here you see that on cyclone A, it immediately precedes the inlet, and on cyclone B, it's somewhat after the inlet. This is the same two cyclones looking up instead of looking down. The one at the right had greater emissions than the one at the left. I theorize that the surface roughness may account for the departure between reality and computer models, but I don't know that for a fact. I can only give you 3 conclusions. Reducing inlet velocity reduced pressure drop. Everybody's known that for a long time. Reducing inlet velocity reduced emissions. That was quite surprising. Reducing inlet velocity is against the law. There are states that specify that a cyclone be operated at a certain inlet velocity or at a certain pressure drop. The difference between our laboratory trials and the real world hasn't been checked yet. There's 2 options. We can go to Lubbock. We can use the 30-inch diameter cyclones. Hopefully those cyclones will have fewer internal imperfections, and we can confirm that this is real, or we can say, hey, you know what? What we did with our 12-inch cyclones was different. Or we can go directly to a commercial gin. And I have in this room an illustrious crowd of intelligent cotton gin people. So it's fair to ask, if you guys have any recommendations, please collar me in the hallway and let me know what you think. Kelly, you want to say something?
I really do.
Yeah.
And when you lower the inlet velocity, you're going to tend to suck some here up and come, which is certainly going to hurt your efficiency. I think your third option is to modify your slice plan so that you have an opening put holes in the lid of your bucket or whatever, so the air can get in and out of that bottom. And then perform the same experiment with the bottom being free and see what happens.
Thank you, Kelly. I'm open to other suggestions, too. That's pretty good. Okay. We set out to show what PM10 and PM2.5, how much worse it would be if we slowed down, but it didn't get worse. We did show that we could save electricity, so it's interesting to pursue this research. It's also interesting that the difference was more pronounced with smaller particulate. In the interest of saving the industry money, you know, we reduce air systems is somewhere between 50 and 60% of the energy in a gym. If we can reduce it by 3 or 4%, we could save the gym somewhere between $2 and $3 million a year. So I really think it's important to continue this research, but I don't want to get the ginning industry in trouble. I don't want to stir up the waters if there are states where, you know, they've made a truce and people are allowed to continue. We don't want to mess that up. Just for kicks, I threw in this. These are the PM2.5 and PM10 non-attainment areas. This is the current one. This is the 1997 one. And you can see it's mostly urban areas. They have to worry about PM2.5.